Blog Talk Radio.
And good Sunday morning to you here. We are back again. You found us in the garage here at Frat House Sports, a radio network. We're going to talk motorsports here on the Race Trim Motorsports Hour. This is our eighth installment, and I am joined today by a couple of my very good pit crew. Not only my crew chief, Brandon, good morning, but
good morning,
also... Also, our co-pilot this morning is our own Frat House Sidekick. Sidekick, good morning. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm trying not to get blown away here, man. Holy cow.
Yeah.
How about it?
This is nuts. Now, just a little bit of insight for everybody out there. We've had quite the wind this morning, and we weren't quite sure we were actually going to get this broadcast put together, but... Who came to the rescue but our man on the spot, and that would be Brandon. Got a generator running. He's got us fully hooked up here, despite the fact that the frat house vicinity is currently without power. So kudos to Brandon. And by the way, if I may, today is Brandon's birthday. So we got a
generator. Yo, man, we love you.
You know what I mean?
Happy birthday, Mr. Technical Director.
There you go.
Wow.
Straight from Marilyn herself.
How about this, Sidekick, for doing our very own disaster recovery test here on Frat House Sports Radio Network.
That's right. That's right. So it doesn't matter. Come hell or high water, if we're due to go on the air, we go on the air. And it's a beautiful thing.
Provided we have time to set it up.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
If listen, it went out 5 minutes before a show went live, we'd be trouble.
Yeah, well, you know,
we do best we can.
That's going to be the way it is, and we realize, you know, hey, you know, acts of God and that kind of thing. Well, here it is, man, and let's jump right into it. You know, all at once, then there were three. You know, it's funny with this NASCAR season. On the one hand, it seems like longer than 7 weeks ago that the chase got underway. The green flag dropped in Chicagoland. On the other hand, you know, following today's event in Texas, there's going to be just two races remaining in the entire of this 2014 season. It's funny, Frat House Mike had mentioned it on Thursday night when we were doing the Frat House Sports Show. This racing season is a long one. It kicked off over the final weekend of February in Daytona, and it's going to conclude the second week of November at Miami Homestead. That's some nine, almost 10 months later. By this point last year, we had foreseen sort of the eventual winner, that being Jimmy Johnson. And the prior year in 2012, we likewise could pretty well conclude, you know, it was going to be Brad Keselowski at that point. He probably would win. And, of course, he eventually went on and did win. Now, this year, speaking for me, man, I have no idea. I have no idea who's going to pull this thing out. Last Sunday in Martinsville Speedway down in Virginia, we saw Dale Jr. He got the win. He got the grandfather clock. And I guess he got a bit of consolation for his team and crew. He was eliminated from the chase following Talladega. So the more important fact, I think, though, and let's chat about it perhaps, is that Dale Jr.'s win in this segment now leaves only two available wins to be achieved by the eight eligible drivers, and that window is slowly closing. Who do we like today? You want to speculate? Are we going to see a chase driver, do you think? Or can we see another spoiler? Who has an idea?
Well, I don't know if we're going to see a spoiler today, like I said. You know, last week, you know, I kind of called it with, yeah, this is going to be probably the race where we're going to see the where a non-chaser gets the win. This week, though, I think you're going to see a chaser, and I think probably your two odds-on favorites right now are probably Joey Logano and Jeff Gordon. Logano obviously won here in the spring. Jeff Gordon finished second here in the spring. He finished second last week at Martinsville, Jeff Gordon, that is. So I think this week you're going to see a chaser, and you're going to see somebody move on to the big dance.
Okay, that's going to obviously close down an opportunity, and then there will be 7-4-1. What do you think, Brandon?
I think Sidekick's right. I think you're going to eventually see one of the Chase guys pull this off today. But I don't know that it's going to be somebody you think. In other words, Ryan Newman's run good all weekend. Not that, you know, I'm beating his drum lately, considering I really don't like the guy. He's not my favorite. But, you know, you got the whole Kevin Harvick, Matt Kenseth, you know, they're not happy with each other thing going on, but they both run well at this track. So, you know, one of those could pick it out in either Penske boy, you know, Dave already brought up Logano. Keselowski could manage to remove his head from his anal cavity and run better, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have, you know, maybe we'll get another guy. You know, Jimmy Johnson could always pick something off. Paul Menard's been running good. All of RCR racing is seemingly on an uptick for some reason. I don't know if they're all kind of riding the momentum of Ryan Newman, not only making, but going far in this chase. So, you know, something like that. And, you know, Tony Stewart did go 200 miles an hour. First guy to ever do it at the track. Maybe he could slide in there with a win.
Yep. Outstanding. Outstanding lap time. 200.111 miles per hour. I mean, that's outstanding. And to your point, both of you, your points, Matt Kenseth sitting in fourth today, starting from the pole, had very good practice sessions, essentially, and clearly had, you know, the best lap to get the pole position. And right behind him, Denny Hamlin. So there's, in spots 4 and 5, both Joe Gibbs racers up front. Also, I guess, kudos to Edwards. He finally kind of practiced well and qualified reasonably well. So I guess Roush Fenway isn't quite done yet, you know, because I'll be honest with you, when I look at the leaderboard of the eight, he's somebody that I'm kind of seeing as maybe the first one we're going to see picked off. You know, it's funny, we talked about Junior, we talked about him through the last 8 weeks that we've been doing this show. Way back when this Chase playoff got started in Chicago, you know, there was a sentimental feeling of this, you know, kind of, quote, being his year. And the wins he put together, you know, obviously the sweep of Pocono has to go in there. Martinsville was one of those tracks Junior had never won at before. And it was a race for which he would, you know, essentially run for pride because he was already out of title contention. Well, lo and behold, he got it. I don't know. Is this perhaps a fitting denouement, a fitting end for a pretty doggone good year after all, huh? I mean, what do you think?
It could be. And, you know, just to take the Junior thing one step further, his first Spring Cup win came at Texas Motor Speedway. I mean, you know, I don't know if they're riding a high. Maybe they can pull off another win. Who knows? He didn't come to mind, you know, because he hasn't been as impressive there lately as he had been in his, you know, early years. But his first few years there, he owned this track. I mean, he owned this track like Jimmy Johnson owned Charlotte, you know, when he first came up in Sprint Cup. So, you know, he knows how to get around. That's for sure. I don't know. What do you think, Sidekick?
Well, no. Junior this year is kind of like a Kyle Busch. He's always a threat, you know. I mean, you look at the beginning of the season, and he was just on fire. Yeah, it seemed like every week everybody was talking about Junior. And then he kind of, you know, died off, hit a lull there. You know, unfortunately, you know, we saw, you know, he got his win a week late, got out of the chase, you know, which, you know, we've talked, you know, a lot about, you know, the elite drivers that are out. But, yeah, Junior's a threat here as well.
Yeah, now, of course, you know, his crew chief, that is Steve Letarte, right? He's going to be – he and Junior are going separate ways, obviously, after the end of the season. So, you know, maybe I guess some of that played into the whole sentiment of Junior, you know, this being his year and that kind of thing. Did he not just turn 40? You know, so there was some speculation of, geez, has he already crested? Or perhaps maybe we're going to see something of a rebirth, something of a rejuvenation for him. And clearly, you know, the Hendrick operation's a dynamo, despite the fact that at this point, you know, Jeff Gordon's the only one carrying the banner still as far as a contention.
I think you're right, though, with the rejuvenation thing, because Dale Jr.'s recently come out and said he's more focused, more targeted than he's been in years. You know, I think his dad passing messed his career up in the middle. I think his dad was a big part about keeping his head on straight. In other words, like if he was getting to, you know, party a little too much or get a little too full of himself, I think his dad was able to keep him straight and keep him winning. And I think that when he passed, he lost that, and he kind of was like a rudderless ship for a while. You know, he still had the talent to do it, but he didn't necessarily have the focus or the, you know, mentality. And he's probably just, you know, he seems way more down to earth now. You know, he's got a steady girlfriend who you constantly see. They'll probably get married someday and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, he definitely seems more focused, and he's actually said as much, you know, about his career. So I think he has turned a bit of a corner and is in a rejuvenation.
Right. And, you know, and you and I have butted heads a couple times the past couple seasons about Junior, because I've been, you know, overly critical of Junior and the fact that, you know, he's been riding his dad, you know, he was riding his dad's coattail, and that, you know, with the passing of his father and all the stuff that went down at, you know, DEI and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff, that really it was, you know, was Junior really that good, or was it, you know, it's name recognition for him? But I have to say that I've turned around on that this season, and I've seen a Junior that, you know, I haven't seen in a number of years. You know, getting wins, competitive, you know, and stuff like that. We're not talking about, you know, how many races has it been since Junior got a win where, you know, he's talking, you know, what was he up to the one time, like 70 races without a win or something? He was the driver with the longest run of, you know, not winning and
right.
stuff.
Drought.
So, you know,
yeah,
so he's really turned it around this year. So, you know, and found his mojo or whatever. So, you know, hats off to him.
Yeah, absolutely right. Now, listen, if there's anyone out there and you want to climb aboard with us, feel free to do that, because your opinions are certainly welcome as well, and we would love to know what you think. Give us a call, 347-826-9964. That's the way to do it by phone. If you are Skype already and at your computer, go ahead and hit up that Skype button, and you can climb aboard with us that way as well. We're chatting NASCAR, obviously, today to kick off the show. We're going to be, obviously, heading to Texas a bit later today to continue in this eliminator round. What I wanted to do, just take a few minutes real quick, we'll highlight what was essentially a rock'em sock'em rowdy affair at Martinsville. Now, over the course of the 500 laps, the race saw 15 cautions, one of which brought out a red flag as NASCAR officials and track personnel cleaned up the track. Was on lap 428, Keselowski couldn't maintain his pace, results of which were an accident that collected up Martin Truex Jr., Danica Patrick, Brian Vickers, Casey Kanes, Carl Edwards. What is this, Talladega men? Yeah, that was just crazy. You know, and it's funny because in that group, speaking of, well, Vickers and Kane, it's funny, the 5 car spun out the 55 on lap 160. That brought out the fourth caution. And then Vickers got Kane back, spinning out the 5 car in retaliation on lap 222. But Kane wasn't done, and he spun Vickers out again on lap 277. That brought out the 10th caution. So there was some bad blood. You want to talk about mojo? or some bad feelings. Those two certainly continued to duel as the race progressed. Likewise speaking, Truex Jr. was spun by Danica early in the race. It wasn't any damage. It was simply a spin, but he made sure he returned the favor, and he got the GoDaddy number 10 on lap 285. That brought out the 11th caution. This was just a wild, wild affair in terms of these. All of these people are non-chase drivers, but they were running as though the championship were on the line. Now, the most talked about was the contact between the 20 car of Kenseth. He got loose racing into turn one on lap 228. He collected up Tony Stewart and Kevin Harvick, who were running right there with him. Kevin Harvick took the hardest damage, of course. He would return, but he had to go to the garage. Extensive repairs were required for him to come back, and he did complete the race, but he had already found himself 40 laps down. There were a lot of drivers that were penalized through the day for speeding on pit road, and we had all chatted about that last week. That was a particular hang-up that we could foresee at the paperclip. Multiple race leaders also, which made this thing also very entertaining in my opinion. We had leaders including Tony Stewart, Clint Bowyer, Justin Allgaier. Logano, of course, was up front. Gordon, of course, was up front. Kurt Busch had the lead at one point. Hamlin had the lead. The pole sitter was Jamie Mack. He opened up with the lead. You know, Junior essentially stayed up front from lap 454 until the end. And this goes to what we had said just moments before about him running and racing with true mojo and competitive edge. He held on for a fun, really fun finish. The final restart basically was at the end at lap 496. He outpaced Gordon, Newman, Stewart, Logano. I mean, really, how much more could we ask for as fans? I thought this was really one of the more entertaining races we have seen. And the prior time, the prior week at Talladega, I thought was really a hoot. I mean, what did I miss, man? Huh?
Well, you were mentioning, you know, Kasey Kahne and Brian Vickers going back and forth with each other. You know, the 5 and 55. I think, but I don't recall hearing you say that NASCAR called down to both of their crew pits and said,
right,
yeah, those two guys
That's
are
enough.
Done for the day. If you know, if we see anything else, we're going to park these two guys.
Yeah. I was surprised. A lot of people were surprised the black flag wasn't waved for Vickers. He was, I guess, in some respects, he was seen as the aggressor. But, yeah, that did go back and forth, and good points I kicked. That is correct. NASCAR finally did come down and say, hey, by the way, let those guys know it's over.
Yeah.
Well, NASCAR's done that before, though. They like to try to, you know, give them a chance to behave before they have to play, you know, principal and say, take your toys and go to the hauler.
Yes. Yeah. Stop touching each other.
Yeah.
The next kid that touches each other, we're pulling over.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Right.
We will turn around and go home.
Exactly. That is funny, boy. Yeah. That's a parent talking, boy. That sounds like a dad. Well, of course, paybacks. Paybacks are up, right? Essentially, that's what Harvick has said. You know, paybacks are up, and if we don't win, they don't win. Speaking of, Matt Kenseth, it was Kenseth and Keselowski. We've seen Patrick and Logano in an earlier go-round. Now Harvick and Kenseth. You know, I mean, the incidents between Truex Jr. and Danica, the Vickers-Kane trifecta, I mean, speculation. Who's going to punt who today, or are we going to all now, as, you know, you mentioned, sidekick, NASCAR had to step in. Are we all going to calm down? Do you think we're going to behave ourselves and everybody's going to get in line and hold hands as we cross the street? Brandon, sidekick, what do you think?
I think you could see some retaliation. I was dead set more believing earlier in the week that you might see it from Harvick and Kenseth, but we were having our own little conversation here at the frat house, and frat house Mike kind of did convince me that I don't think it'd be too wise for two guys in the chase, You know, because if they end up trying to take each other out and then they take themselves out in the process, that would be just like, you know, a catastrophic blow. So I don't think you're going to see too much of that. You might see somebody like, you know, I don't know how pissed Danica is at Logano. Maybe take a swipe at him. I don't know. The Kane bit from last week with Kane and Vickers may not be done. You know, I bet NASCAR will give them a terse warning prior to the race, though, saying stay away from each other or we're parking your asses.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Now, and I'm not sure if I missed something, but with the whole Kenseth Harvick thing, I thought that looked kind of innocent.
Well, you know, they were jabbing at each other back and forth after the race, with, you know, verbally anyway.
Well, I know Harvick's been all bent out of shape, but when I looked at the accident that took Harvick out, I don't recall it looking like there was any kind of intention there. I think it was just a mere Harvick happened to be at the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Well, you know, maybe he looked at it afterwards and calmed down a bit, but, you know.
Well, he's been talking all week about it, though. So,
yeah,
well,
I don't know.
But, and, you know, I do agree a little bit in the sentiment with, you know, Fred House Mike on, you know, who's going to be taking care, you know, who's going to be taking who out and stuff. But here's where I think you potentially may see Harvick exact his revenge, if you want to call it that. And that will be if he is out of the chase. As in, say, you know, you may not see, if he's in contention this week, you may not see it this week. Potentially next week, if something goes wrong and he knows that he's not making the chase, he may go ahead and go after Kenseth because he has nothing to lose. Obviously, he's cool headed for the most part, and, you know, he's not going to do anything that's going to risk his chance of advancing. But I think if you see where he's, you know, definitely going to be eliminated, he may then go and, you know, have nothing to lose and say, you know what, I'm getting mine.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, it's an interesting thing. Kenseth got loose. There's no two ways around it. As they were barreling through that first turn, you know, it was himself, it was Tony Stewart, it was Harvick. They were all three coming three wide into the turn. And Kenseth got loose. I mean, Stewart received, you know, some of that, but he didn't come out after the race and say, wow, that was really a boneheaded move. You know, what the heck? You know, you can't speak for these idiots that you find yourself on the track with. So I would tend to agree that I think what happened was Harvick listen, I would have been annoyed too. You put me in the garage, I'm 40 laps down, and now I'm coming back. They've patched my ride together enough that, you know, now at this point, I'm hoping to just finish the race. I don't want to DNF. I'm trying to stay in this thing. So I can understand where all of that would have been adrenaline-fueled. At the same time, it does make for some interesting conversation from the standpoint of, yeah, how are people thinking? And these are members of the chase, but they have team members who might easily be able to punt somebody out of the way and make it look like, gee, what an accident there. What a shame. I mean, you know, unfortunately, all day Kyle Busch attempted to stay clear at Talladega. What happened? He got collected up in one, and boy, was he naturally salty because his hopes were dashed along with the front end, the side, the back of his car. So, I mean, I'm not saying that, in fact, Kyle Busch is going to go out and wreck somebody, but that it wouldn't surprise me if there was going to be some retribution that maybe Kyle Busch might not be looking out for a Matt Kenseth in a situation like today, where maybe things start to get a little bit more heated. It's made for fun. Really has made for some fun.
I'm not sure Kyle Busch is going to try to hurt anything, because as you and I were talking yesterday, he's going for the three-peat, man. He won the truck. Mm-hmm. He won the nationwide race. He could go and totally sweep this whole weekend here with a win today. I bet you that's the only thing on his mind. He's not thinking about nothing else but winning, knowing him. He's probably not even concerned about that other garbage right now.
No, I agree. All right. So, you know, I mean, I mentioned him. You know, it could be Kurt Busch for Stuart Haas. It could be any of them,
yeah.
Actually.
Sure.
But my point being, there's not really much that the team members can do to help one another. We're not in a super speedway where, you know, you're looking for drafting partners. You know, you're looking for necessarily people that are going to block for you. But it's funny how, you know, the dimension of team kind of comes into play as members of the team who are on the field are no longer contending, but we want those owner points. We want those team points. So now all at once I'm going to take on the mantle for Stuart Haas, even though I'm not running in contention to win as Stuart Haas, if you get me. I mean,
oh yeah,
maybe I'm a little naive in my thought.
No, I don't think so. I think you're dead on there. I think that, you know, they will definitely look out for each other, you know, as far as the teammates go. I think you always see that to a certain degree. Unless you get like you get in the truck race where you got two teammates who want to have a, you know, fight
there
for the race.
Yeah, they got it. Yeah. Yeah, and of course that, you know, that's bound to happen. That's bound to happen. Now, listen, going forward, let's throw out the number once again. If somebody's out there and you would like to chat with us, feel free to do so. 347-826-9964. We're chatting up the NASCAR and some of the events from Martinsville and looking forward to today's run in Texas. That'll be at 3 o'clock. So we're going to be in the midst of NFL, and we're going to have a little later NASCAR event today. Let's say we chat up a couple X factors that I kind of put together as we go into Texas. This will affect maybe this week, but certainly it could also affect next week at Phoenix. We already kind of talked about it, I guess, and maybe it doesn't need to be rehashed, but, you know, neither of you see somebody else winning apart from a Chase driver today. As we said, Junior won Martinsville, and he wasn't in the chase, and it ramped up the pressure, obviously, for those that are going in. Is it possible? What if? Could you envision, either of you men, we could go maybe 3 in a row, and it won't be a chase driver, all the way down to Miami Homestead? I mean, that's not beyond possibility, right?
No, it's possible. I mean, you got guys like, you know, Casey Kane and Jimmy Johnson who were formerly in the chase who are now not in it that are clearly contenders that could win at any given week. So I think the longer you get into this, the odds are, you know, you could have a non-chase guy win. But, you know, I just have a feeling that, you know, the ones that are still in the chase are clearly going to be putting forth, you know, the effort to get the wins because that's, you know, they need that to move on, especially anybody who had trouble first race. So I think you're going to see guys like Harvick and Kenseth and, you know, like them, they're going to ramp up their, you know, effort to try to secure their entry into the next round.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, and what makes this all fun is, you know, looking forward to, you know, Homestead. What do you call it? You know, you're only going to have, you know, of a field of, what, 42, 43 cars, you're only going to have four chasers racing for the championship in that race. So, the odds that one of those four actually wins that race is, you know, rather low compared to the number of non-chasers in it. And the points reset.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see those four guys racing it hard. You know, because obviously whoever finishes the highest is the champ.
Right. Irrespective.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, in that aspect, I really kind of like this chase format, you know, because, hey, here we go. It's basically, you know, it's a one race off for the championship. So,
yeah, it makes for some compelling stuff. Another X factor, although he actually, as I said at the top of the show, he actually practiced well and he qualified reasonably well. My question, I guess, really is, where has Carl Edwards been since Sonoma? You know, I mean, that was his last win. Really, is he viable? Is he somebody we should consider? Or can we already kind of check him off the list as, well, he's not going to make the final four cut? You know, he's set to join Joe Gibbs Racing in 2015. This is his last shot with Roush at the moment. His longtime crew chief, who is almost Hall of Fame caliber, Jimmy Fenning, is due to retire or otherwise continue with Roush in research and development. Is this the swan song for Carl Edwards with the Roush group?
Well, it could be. I mean, I think he's going to – the difference with Edwards that will probably keep him at least in it is he doesn't make a lot of reckless moves on the track. He's pretty a safer driver. He's not going to be like – you know, Kyle Busch, when he wants to win, he's going to hang that car out as far as he possibly can and do everything he can. Where Carl Edwards, he usually plays it a little safer. So, I mean, he might be able to, you know, move on to the next round, just get by on points if he doesn't, you know, keeps the car around him. But I don't see him as a threat to go out and win anytime soon. I don't – that whole Roush organization looks like it has internal issues that they need to fix. None of them are running good.
Yeah, it's kind of weird with Carl Edwards. You know, he came in – you know, his rookie year was running really well. You know, we saw him tie Tony Stewart for the championship a few years ago, and it's almost like the wind has been out of his sails since that tie for the championship. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of just, like, mm-hmm. fell off the map. And mm-hmm. then you have to wonder what's going, you know, is it, you know, just luck that he's, you know, or bad luck, lack of luck, I guess, that mm-hmm. he's just kind of been, you know, middling around, you know, or are there other issues, you know, and is that what, you know, ultimately led him to sign with Joe Gibbs, you know, because, you know, we've seen drivers like Kenseth last year, you know, who left and, you know, went to Joe Gibbs and, you know, won, what, 7 races or whatever it was he won
right.
last year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, you know, there's that first... you know, that first year bump where, you know, you get this rejuvenation almost in their careers. So, is Carl, looking for that spark again, maybe?
Yeah,
you know?
Good point, Sidekick. I agree with you. We did see sort of a honeymoon phase that Kenseth experienced. And, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think you might be on to something. With Edwards moving on to the Gibbs organization next year, that will sort of rejuvenate, give himself the idea of fresh start, brand new, it's all new, it's going to be fun, it's a wide open possibility. And at the same time, yeah, here we are at the end of the Roush. I'm running for pride, I want to do right by old man Roush, but at the same time, I'm not really looking to make, per se, a big deal of difference. Might be somebody, though, because we know you can annoy Carl Edwards. I mean, he might be, see to me, he's somebody that I could see at Miami Homestead, trying to get back maybe a little retribution against a person or two that he didn't particularly like the look of, the smell of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another X factor. How about it? Mr. Consistency, right? Also known as Ryan Newman. You know, it's funny, wins don't matter. Mathematics evidently matter, and there's something to Ryan Newman. Some like him, some do not. He's not my favorite driver, but there is something that is a particularly haughty, egotistical. I almost have the impression he sits with a slide ruler while the crew works on his car, and he sits and calculates exactly how many laps he'll need and where he needs to finish in order to maintain his pace in this chase format. Am I nuts or what? Is Ryan Newman going to win? Because he's been close, and he has run absolutely consistency and goes to everything that Sidekick you have brought up through the 8 weeks that we've been doing this show and through the year with Frat House Sports, and that is if you run consistently well, yeah, the wins will come. Maybe they won't. It still doesn't matter. Get yourself top five. You're guaranteed you're going to do fine. Is Ryan Newman going to be the guy? Can he do it mathematically?
Well, Newman looks like probably right now, probably the best one of the lot. You know, you got Kenseth there sitting there with, you know, his no wins. But, you know, it seems like he's been a little bit more inconsistent than, you know, Newman has. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not a, you know, I'm, you know, kind of in agreement with you, you know, both of you guys. I'm not really a big Ryan Newman fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got to give it to him. It's consistency. You know, if you go through the season and you're, you know, you get, you know, top fives every week, you know, you seem guys like, you know, Carl Edwards, we were just talking about, you know, he's got, you know, one win at Sonoma, you know, and then he fell off, you know, but he's in the chase because he's got his win.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you get those guys that, you know, they're consistent. They're top five, top 10 every week. You know, you can squeak in, you know, it's not the prettiest way to get in, you know, sure. They build it all as, you know, win and you're in kind of thing and, you know, keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can quietly sneak along, you know, and kind of backdoor in, you know, like a wild card spot, you know, like you see in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
With the NFL and the Major League Baseball and stuff like that. So, you know, I've always said, you know, and you mentioned that, you know, I feel that consistency is better than, you know, a flash in the pan win and that. So, you got to kind of give it to Ryan Newman and even Matt Kenseth this season for, you know, making it through no wins. But here they are. They're in contention.
Yeah, they definitely are in contention. I think Matt Kenseth might have his work cut out for him to go to the next level without a win after last week having problems. But Ryan Newman certainly is still on track. I mean, he put in a solid third place. You know, he puts in another top five, top 10 today and another, you know, similar run the following week, and he'll be in without a win. I don't know if Kenseth can quite do that. I don't know. I guess it would depend how everybody else fares, you know, in relation to, you know, them finishing high up and not finishing or having, you know, like a DNF or some kind of problem in the race. I think he needs to switch his focus and clearly go for, you know, that first position right now.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear on that, Brandon. You know, hats off to Kenseth. This will be his second pole, okay? So he has, you know, he's obviously been able to qualify well enough from you know, two races to actually get the pole. I forget. Help me out. Have we seen Ryan Newman from the pole this year? I want to say
I don't think so.
Yeah, right?
I don't think we have either.
No. I think he's qualified reasonably well in a handful of races where he might have been coming from, you know, the front 10. But
mm-hmm.
I don't recall him coming from the pole. At the same time, he was Rookie of the Year the same year that Jimmy Johnson came in. So there, I almost have to give the guy props, Ryan Newman. He was Rookie of the Year his first time around in the big ride. Another thought here. Oh, the pain. Keselowski finds himself, right? The Penske boy. The anointed one. We thought he was anointed going in when we all messed around with the grid. He finds himself on the cut line after one race of the eliminator round, just as he started out the contender round. I mean, speaking of mathematics, is it viable that we're not going to see Keselowski make it?
That's possible. I mean, it's very possible. I mean, he had, you know, his issues last week. He might be another one. I mean, Kenseth, Keselowski, and Harvick, they need to really look at the win. That's kind of where they're at now. They don't get a win, they may not be in. So, you know, that's got to be their focus.
Mm-hmm. And he certainly has been on the edge. I mean, he seemed ready to pop off, like, more than once during this chase format. It seems as though maybe Keselowski's going to be one of the first to really crack. I could be wrong, but he kind of has that feeling to me. His teammate, just 24 years old, you know, can Logano stand up? Is he a viable, I mean, really, is he a viable guy to be able to handle the pressure, especially this format? Hey, it's one race. You might be going forward or you might be out of here. I mean, he's 6 years already driving, and he's just 24 years old. Is maybe his immaturity something? In other words, I'm questioning everything we've come to believe about the Penske duo. They've been dominant, but I don't know. Is there room to speculate? Maybe neither one makes it. Am I nuts?
Well, I think one of them's going to advance out of this round. You know, Keselowski, you know, it was kind of up between Logano and Keselowski at the beginning of the chase. And, you know, a lot of people were thinking that, you know, we're putting their money on Keselowski. I, you know, looking at my chase grid, I even have Keselowski winning it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he's, you know, unfortunately been on a kind of a run of bad luck. You know, where we just talk about, you know, king of consistency with Newman, mm-hmm. you've got Brad Keselowski on the other end of the spectrum where, you know, he's, you know, just shooting himself in the foot to the point where, you know, he's got to, you know, pull something, you know, out of his anal cavity, you know, and be, you know, and, you know, as Fran said earlier, and, you know, kind of pull off that superhero move and, you know, get the, you know, all the drama and, you know, is he going to get in? Is he not going to get in? Oh, look, he got a win, you know. I think of the driver, you know, I don't think you can rule him out, you know, because he's a threat to go and pull off that win,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could potentially be in there in the mix today, you know, with the Penske's running well at Texas. So, you know, it's an interesting, you know, to see where he goes, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be a great dynamic. You know, obviously we put a lot of stock in, as well we should as being fans. We put a lot of stock in the ability, consistency of the drivers themselves. But, man, let's not forget these pit crews. These pit crews obviously matter more than ever as we count down. You know, we're in race number 8 of this entire playoff format. We're going to be counting them down to 9, ultimately to 10, Miami Homestead. We see Kevin Harvick and his boss, Tony Stewart, have swapped crews for purposes of hopefully propelling Harvick forward. One of the most consistent pit crews has been that of Matt Kenseth, at least through the last 8 weeks. Denny Hamlin, who is likewise a Gibbs driver and likewise in the chase, has also had remarkable, resounding success. How much is pit crew really a wild X factor?
Yeah, it could be. You never know. I mean, with the crew chiefs and the pit crew guys, you know, they leave a lug nut untight, you know, an air gun breaks. You leave a wrench in the car, get a, you know, leaving pit road penalty, you know, with equipment. It could all factor in. You know, everybody tries to not make mistakes, especially as you get down to it. But the pit crews do matter. Matter of fact, if you go back to the one, there was a race not too long ago where Denny Hamlin and the Gibbs guys were just handing Harvick his butt on every, I believe that was the impetus of the swap you were just referring to. You know, mm-hmm. they were just handing his butt every time off a pit road he lost, you know, a position to Hamlin or Kenseth. And, you know, there was speculation that they had, you know, faster air guns or something, and it turned out to be nothing. But, you know, it does matter. You know, you can't go in there and lose a position every time consistently like Harvick was doing in that race. And, you know, it matters, that's for sure.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, you know, seconds and hundreds of seconds make a big deal of difference when you are trying to find the checkered, but likewise, hundreds of seconds can make a difference in getting off pit road and finding track position. And listen, a shout-out to – we're doing a triple play here down at Texas Motor Speedway, and you brought it up at the top, Brandon. Hats off to Kyle Busch, because he is running in the third event today at Texas. He ran the trucks. He ran the nationwide, and of course, he's going to run today in Sprint Cup. Interesting. Maybe we could chat real quick just about the two other events that ran already this weekend. The Camping World Truck Series contended on Friday night. I sat and watched that. I'll tell you what, Darrell Bubba Wallace Jr., right? He's a lot of fun, this kid. Of course, he's running for Kyle Busch, and Kyle himself was in that truck race. What a heartbreak for the kid. I was watching him. He was up front. He stayed up front. Lap 106 of 147, what happens? His whole truck blows up all at once. Kyle Busch is in the lead. Kyle Busch holds on to take the checker. Bubba took quite a hit, unfortunately. You got Matt Crafton up there in that particular series. He's trying to be the first back-to-back winner. Darrell finds himself shuffled back a little bit. He had been 22 points back. He's now 43 points back. That's essentially an entire win back. Give it to Kyle Busch. It was a green-white checker, and he certainly had a strong vehicle, but what a shame for Wallace. I think he had the strongest truck. I don't know if either of you saw the race, but I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it there. I kind of caught the tail end after Bubba already had his issue. And, yeah, you could even hear, what's his name, Kyle. You know, he felt bad for him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all that, I'm not sure how that all, you know, plays out in the end. I mean, I don't know that Wallace was going to win the championship, but he's certainly still in it. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
You never want to see that be the way, you know, you'd lose a championship is to have an engine failure. That's certainly not, you know,
oh, that's
you don't wish that on anyone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really a heartbreak. That went down on Friday evening. Then yesterday, Saturday afternoon, I sat and, of course, I had to follow it because I'm a nationwide nut. I'm just a stock car maniac. I watch all the events if I can. Really, a lot of Cup drivers that yesterday ran in the nationwide event. Kyle Larson, of course, primarily Cup driver. Has run in the nationwide. Interesting thing with him, he failed to pass pre-race inspection in time to even qualify, so he had to start from the back of the field. Kyle Busch ran yesterday in nationwide. Joey Logano ran yesterday in nationwide. We had Matt Kenseth was up in there. Landon Castle, of course, runs full-time there. We know him, and we see him almost every week also at the Cup level. Kevin Harvick was in it. Austin Dillon was in it. That was Austin Dillon's actually first appearance at the nationwide level in 2014. And Clint Bowyer, man, kudos to Clint Bowyer. He had to jump in the seat for Elliott Sadler, who was unfortunately so very sick that he could not qualify. He went out and ran approximately the first 10 laps so that he would have enough points, but he vacated the seat to Clint Bowyer. A lot of fun, that race. Once again, I don't know, Sidekick, if maybe you had a chance to see it. Brandon, I believe you at least saw some of the end of it. I sat and watched it. I thought it was outstanding. I really thought it was outstanding. And there was really just a few cautions. Relatively speaking, it was relatively caution-free. There were only four cautions throughout the event. It was Kyle Busch. It was Joey Logano, though. At the end of the day.
Yeah, I watched most of it. I missed the very first 20 laps or something because we had some errands running yesterday and didn't quite get in. But once I got in and popped it on, yeah, I was watching it pretty much in the beginning. I kind of caught the tail end of Trevor Bean's little fire on the back half of his car there. So, yeah, it was a good race. And like you said, it was pretty clean, not a lot of cautions. You know, the one guy who had a broken axle and lost a whole wheel and hub went rolling down the track. That was a little entertaining for a minute there, but
oh my
not
God.
For him it wasn't. But
no, that was Ryan Sieg. Was right around lap 129. I mean, exactly. The wheel, the hub, the entire axle, the entire portion of it came clean away from the car. I mean, it looked like a spectacular, what was going to be a spectacular wreck. And somehow he was able to spin, avoid major collision, and found himself down on the apron. And, yeah, the Trevor Bayne, my God, his car blew up. I don't know what happened. I mean, back tire went down, and all at once he shot up into the wall as though he were having, you know, some kind of seizure. I mean, that's how quickly it occurred. And next thing you know, he was up and on fire. Like I say, just kudos to somebody like Clint Bowyer for jumping in the seat and running for Elliott Sadler. I mean, they were talking – he's a Toyota guy. And evidently, physically, he was able to fill the seat without them having to swap out too much to make the car run for him. But in fact, I mean, he did a heck of a job. He wound up finishing ninth and kept, yeah, you know, Sadler's hopes alive as best they can be in that series. Who doesn't like Chase Elliott for the winner, though? Could be the first. Could be the first rookie winner ever in the Nationwide Series. Is that a feel-good story or what? Sidekick, what do you know about that Chase Elliott, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that,
man.
It's cool.
You know, that's always cool to see a rookie contend for a championship. You know, and you know, luckily none of these bushwhackers are able to, you know, spoil that for them. You know. We always talk about them and how they like to sit there and run that thing and win races and, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm, you know, in some respects, I'm kind of glad they said, hey, you know, all you bushwhackers can't qualify, or, you know, aren't eligible for the championship now, so that we can actually see some people, you know, some of the other young talent, you know, that's coming up through NASCAR, you know, like get this win. So you know,
yeah,
good job.
I think it's showing you he's got a good future ahead of him. He's very polished for his age. He's good in interviews. He's good, you know. He basically does everything right. And granted, he has a little advantage of having a father who was, you know, a Winston Cup champion back in the day. So, you know, he can pull from that experience a little bit. But, man, the kid's – he seems to be really – he's a likable guy, too. So that kind of makes it even more fun.
All right, now listen. What we're going to do, let's take 2-3 minutes here and just chat up a little NHRA before we wrap it up. We got about 8 minutes to go in our hour. It's amazing how fast these go. I just wanted to throw it out there for you gentlemen, because you're more polished and astute in NHRA than I am. We had chatted last week ago that finally, after many, many years, I believe it might have been 14 years or so, that Jimmy Prok was finally leaving and did leave and resigned from John Force Racing. We just heard yesterday John Force announced his new sponsor for next year. We have not learned who his manufacturer sponsor is going to be. Of course, he's going to stay with Peak Antifreeze as his primary, one of his primary sponsors. You know, we have the events going on today. The finale of NHRA Countdown to the Championship will be in Las Vegas next week. Any thoughts on this? It did not seem to hurt John Force as a team that, in fact, he lost Jimmy Prok, right? Don Schumacher Racing put him right to work, and he's working with Fast Jack Beckman and some of the cars over there at DSR. Is John Force going to be able to get his 17th, do you think, in Funny Car? Or what do you think?
I think they're going to be able to at least contend. I don't see it as being, you know, the end of the world. They got a lot of talent on that team. Mike Neff, who is the crew chief for Robert Height, although Height's in it as well, so it's maybe a little fuzzy there, but Neff used to be John Force's crew chief. So Neff, I'm certainly can probably help direct. They've probably named an interim guy. I haven't seen anything in writing yet, but I would imagine that, you know, there'll be somebody. They probably have like a John Medlin or somebody on that team will step up and be the, the interim crew chief or crew chief going forward. But I guarantee you Mike Neff's going to be giving him pointers. Neff is a very, very, very smart crew chief. He's probably the, you know, between him and Proc, they were probably the brain trust of the entire team for, you know, guiding setups, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think he's going to be okay. I think the peak thing was a good move. Mm-hmm. Force was clearly concerned when he had all the announcements of Castrol and Ford none of them coming back. But I think I didn't really believe John Force is a very likable guy. He's very good for his sponsors. I didn't think he would have an issue getting a new sponsor. And you know, I don't know what kind of manufacturer deal that, you know, is rumored on Tuesday, but you know, he'll come through. That's just my guess.
Right. Obviously, Dodge is available to him. Chevy's available to him. Toyota's out there. These are obviously the other manufacturers that are well represented in NHRA. Interesting, the Dodge, you and I chatted about this a little last night, Brandon, that Dodge Challenger, is it? Charger?
Yeah, that's Challenger, I believe.
Oh, my goodness. That would be very awesome to see, because evidently the horsepower on that is something like the space shuttle. So wow.
That's a special edition they put out this year.
Yeah,
it's like a 700 horsepower stock car you can go buy if you have like 60-80 grand laying around.
Oh, hold on. Let me give me a second, guys. I got to make a phone call.
Yeah, right. Let me check my wallet
here.
Dude, I think that's a supercharged Hemi. Mm-hmm. You know, special edition they're putting out this year. So,
well, it's going to be fun, obviously, looking forward to seeing John Force return next year and how it's going to look for him, who he's going to be riding with.
You know what I'm happy about, honestly, because the whole impotence of Mike Neff and Jimmy Proc trading drivers last year, the end of last year, was John Force was concerned he'd have to switch to Top Fuel because he didn't know if he could get a funny car sponsor. And Jimmy Proc has prior experience with the Top Fuel, so since John himself, you know, was the one who would potentially have to be switching to Top Fuel, he wanted to have a crew chief who at least had some exposure, and now it appears he doesn't have to. So I like that. I like John in a funny car. I would have not liked to seen him switch to Top Fuel.
Gotcha.
He is the funny car class, so I like the fact that they got a peak, you know, antifreeze funny car sitting there, you know, on display for,
wasn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. The future,
Posted up. Frat House Mike put the picture up of him in front of the vehicle.
Here's
what. We've got about 3 minutes. What we want to do, go ahead, Sidekick, if you are ready. We're going to chat. I'm still in it. Obviously, you're running away with it, Sidekick. Spoilers, top of our leaderboard in fantasy. Not out of contention at fifth. That's Brandon. Let's chat a little bit on fantasy rosters. Who we running with? You shared them with us on Thursday. Tell us again, Sidekick. Who do you recommend today as we run in Texas?
Well, you know, going into Texas, obviously I went with, you know, the safe bets. We're going to run Joey Logano. Obviously, he won in the spring. The Penske boys have been, you know, really good at these tracks. Jeff Gordon, obviously, we talked about earlier. He ran second here. And, you know, he is riding a wave. He finished second last week in Martinsville. Throwing Brad Keselowski in there just because of the dominance of the Penske boys this season. And he's desperate and needs a win and potentially could come up with that win here at Texas. You know, we saw it at Talladega when he had to get going, he got going. And then, you know, it's the usual suspects after that. You know, we got Michael Annette and then Landon Castle to finish out the roster. So, and that's about it, you know.
Okay.
I'm thinking, though, you know, off the top of my head, you know, I may have to retire next season.
No.
From fantasy and take myself out of contention, you know, because this will, you know, obviously, you know, I won the first two seasons with Team Blood Pack. This season, I'm winning. You know, it's not a Blood Pack three-peat, but now it's Sidekick Spoilers up here. So, you know, I may have to kind of take a back seat and just run a limited schedule, if you want to call it that, where, you know, I do the pick and we let somebody else win.
He's going to be a part-time player.
I don't want to hear this.
Yeah.
Just real quick, my team's entirely different. I got Newman, Harvick, Jr., Alex Bowman, and Witt. I'm trying to do whatever I can to catch him. I've ridden with Harvick and Jr. all year. And as much as I don't like Newman, he's been running good and he's consistent, so I'm putting him on.
All right.
What do you got, Mark?
Well, I got sign-off because it's time to go. Men, thanks so much. Sidekick, come on over and see us for football and some birthday cake later.
Sure.
What do you say? All right.
Yep.
All right, real good. That's it. Thanks so much, men. Enjoy your Sunday. And start your engines, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to Texas.